Lord God, I ask that you'd prepare in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Lord, we're bound together in your love. Help us to live that unity which overcomes every barrier. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So the crowd's looking for a free lunch. They had one like last week, yesterday, a couple days ago. And so they're following Jesus and they're couching it in language that is sort of religious and holy. And Jesus is going, well, you're just here because I served you lunch last week. And so you're here again. Oh, no, show us the works of God. What must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, believe. That's the work of God, is to believe. Believe that the word I speak is the true word, the living word. Believe in me. They ask him, you know, produce some bread, Jesus. Can you perform for us? What work are you going to perform? Have you ever heard that in a restaurant where someone is at a table and their server has not paid them proper attention? I don't think that's an appropriate way to get your server's attention, but you can hear the people kind of having that attitude with Jesus. Jesus, perform for us. Do a work of God. And by the way, can it be lunch? Could you do that lunch thing again? And I have to say that I do that. I come to Jesus and I say, Jesus, can you give me peace? Because I'm kind of upset. Or Jesus, I'm not sure what I want. Can you kind of do that thing? And God in his mercy comes and says, you know, he loves me. And I don't always have to get it right for him to love me. And I love that part about Jesus, the grace, the goodness, his long suffering with me. And he calls us to be that way with each other. And it's going to be work. Anyone who said, welcome to the Christian life, get on board, take a nap, you know, didn't quite hear the gospel message. The gospel message is to come and die, even to your greatest idea, even to your greatest, the best thing you do, just die to that. It's temporal. It's not going to really bear the freight of this life that God calls us to live. He calls us to live life worthy of the calling we have received. Live life worthy of the calling. Well, I think it's first important to realize what the calling is. Think of a call that you've been waiting for. You know, you check the message machine, you check your phone, you check the history to see if that person is called. You're waiting for that call. What about a call that kind of goes stale on you? You don't return that call. It's maybe not the priority that you had that day. What about God's call? Have you responded to that call? Are you willing to respond even this morning as God communicates to you by his Holy Spirit? And it's not doing things to earn God's love. It's not being good in order to be acceptable. God loves us and comes to us. God loves us deeply. It's not to earn his merit, but it's simply to live in light of this great calling we've received to be followers of Jesus. Have you returned God's call? Maybe that's the question that we're called to ponder this morning. Then he gives us these marks that the Christian should bear and our corporate life should exemplify. As we had our closing service last Sunday for the day camps, I was so delighted to see some of the families of day campers come. Some who practice the Christian faith, perhaps in other traditions, and then some from other religions. I know one family came who was Hindu, and the father, I saw him every day in day camp, and his son was here, a delightful boy. And on Sunday, he brought his wife and two sons to the service, and I just honor him for doing that so that they could sort of complete the week and his son could be involved in the closing service. And as we spoke at the end of that service, he just spontaneously reached out and embraced me, and I was so impressed by that. And And I think that's within a community where people experience God's love and God's peace, those enduring qualities of God's Spirit. I believe that's what prompted that embrace. And I value that very deeply as a fruit of this day camp. Paul encourages us, as well as the community in Corinth, to live this life in all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is fruit of the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamos, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, to maintain this life, to live in humility and gentleness, with patience, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. Again, putting this long-suffering on the road, to bear with one another. And that's not just endure one another, but I believe it's an active work of God in us that we who are different in so many ways would recognize and focus on our unity and that which we have in common. Long-suffering is work, and some of you know what that's like, to bear with others, not just bearing with them, but to bear with one another in love. I believe that's the work of this community, to create a place acknowledging God's goodness in the midst of us, making every effort to maintain this unity of the Spirit, which is given to us. Again, we don't earn it. It's a gift of God, with the fact that Christ is in our midst, and we're called to maintain it. I think of my neighbor, Ernie. 9 times out of 10 when I see him, he's in the garden with a pruner. He's got his gloves on, he's got his hat on, and he's got his pruner. Probably 9 times out of 10 I see him with his pruner. And when I say hello, he says, "Welcome to the rainforest." He's always maintaining his garden, clipping here, weeding there, pruning there, moving some dirt around, transplanting plants, watering. He's maintaining his garden all the time. How about you? Do you feel that you have that clarity about being part of this community of faith at St. Cuthbert, where you take very seriously the maintenance of relationships? Or do you write some people off or put them on the B list, hoping that you don't bump into them in the produce section of the grocery store? You know, you endure them, but not in love. You just simply endure them. Maybe that's a start. You hang in there. I think there's a lot to be said about hanging in there. But I believe God's calling us to something greater, making every effort, being like Ernie, ready to prune and ready to be pruned. I guess that's maybe the metaphor, to take it a step further. But the idea is that this community, this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is a gift to be maintained. So I think Paul is saying, yeah, you have a lot of differences, this community of faith in Ephesus, different priorities, different groups championing different causes, and yet, he underlines, you were called to one hope in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Focus on those things that unite, that you have in common, despite or in spite of your differences, for they are greater. This one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, is greater than our differences, greater than the things that separate us. So these things in common that we share in common, there's one body and one Spirit. That's what we share in common. One hope, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Baptism is a visible sign, this token of God's common work in every believer. And so we're asked at the baptism service, will you who are present here do all within your power to support this person or these persons in their life in Christ? It's a community effort. Baptisms are done in public, in the main service. And Bob Scanlon's coming forward for baptism in a couple weeks. And so we'll see a visible token and sign of that unity that we have in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, as he is united with Christ through these waters of baptism. Again, the common areas are greater than any potential difference. And if you have difficulty with that, or you're struggling with something that you have, perhaps with one another, perhaps you've been injured. I believe that's where God wants to work in you this morning. And perhaps the good gardener has the pruner, and are we willing to be pruned as well in that maintenance? So Paul talks about the global and things that were given in common, and then he says, but to each of us a grace has been given. And I believe that's the goal of raising up disciples for Jesus Christ. That's the goal of discerning our children's life in Christ. Working with the leaders in day camp, I was so encouraged to see these gifts and abilities in our young people, and to give them an opportunity to be on the end of serving, preparing, organizing for others to benefit from their service. I was very heartened by what I experienced and the team that I was graced to work with. Each of us is given a grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Do you remember when Jesus said, it's to your advantage, he said to the disciples, that I go away? If I don't go away, he said, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And the helper is that the Holy Spirit who comes and distributes gifts. And so we're called to fan and to flame the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what the community does. It says, I see you as gifted in this area. There was a young woman associated with day camps. And I said, she had a very clear speaking voice and was quite articulate for a 14-year-old. I said, do you ever have opportunity to speak in front of groups? And she said, well, I've joined a couple groups at school, but it really hasn't worked out. I said, is that something you desire? She goes, well, yeah, when I daydream, I think about speaking to groups. I said, really? Really? I said, well, what will you be speaking about in that daydream? Well, about youth issues, she said. I get kind of tired of hearing adults talking about teen issues. I think teens need to talk about teen issues. I believe that was a grace of God in this young woman's life. And how do we then gather around people who share those things with us and say, let's give you a platform to learn how to address a group and to speak about the issues that are pressing on your heart? Each of us has been given a grace according to Christ's gift. God has given leadership gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, with the express focus of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, that we are the ministers dispersed throughout the week in our schools, in our places of work, in our hobbies, and in those we gather with, to do this work of ministry. So we're prepared within the church to do the maintenance of maintaining the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, so that we can then be empowered to go out and be ministers of this gospel in Jesus' name. Have you responded to God's call in your life? Maybe you did some years ago. Is that call changed? Has he called again? Is he doing something new in your life? Is he calling you to a new work? I had the benefit of talking with Pastor Bing. He's the pastor of the Church of Zion, which for a number of years met at 5 o'clock here at St. Cuthbert. It was a fellowship in Mandarin. They're now at Surrey Christian School. They're able to have a Sunday morning time slot, and so they feel that is preferential and beneficial for their community. So they won't be meeting here any longer. But I had a chance to meet with him, and he came from China to McGill University to complete a PhD in nuclear physics. While he was at McGill, he felt called to do a different degree in the medical field, physics. It was still a PhD in physics, but with a medical application. And as a result, he lost all bursaries from China. And so he had to go to work. And so you know, we leave with one idea of what we're called to do, and then God changes that along the way, and God uses everything within God's power to direct us into a way that we will be most fulfilled as human beings, most engaged in this life that will last, this bread that is nourishing for life eternal, not just this life. And so through this transition, Pastor Bing had some physical issues, and he started thinking about his own life in a way he never had. He had practiced Buddhism as a younger man and considered that again, but didn't feel that was it. Some friends introduced him to the Bible, and he read the Bible. He felt that out of all the religious leaders in the world, he could trust Jesus. And I thought, what a powerful statement that is. And so he received Christ, was baptized, was healed, and he said all he wanted to do was tell people about Jesus. That's all he wanted to do. Elders of his church said, well, why don't you complete your PhD and tell people about Jesus? It'd be a good witness if you did so. And he did, and then he went on to serve in the church and went on for further training and now is clearly pastoring. But it's a beautiful image of someone who is not too tightly tied to any plan, is open to say, God, what is your plan for me today? How are you calling me now? Whether you're 9 years old or 99 years old, God, how are you calling me? We must grow up in every way, speaking the truth in love, Paul says, into Jesus, who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined together in love, every sinew and ligament and joint working together, equipped and working properly, is doing its part. And I think that again gets back to our corporate life. Are you doing your part in this body? And if you're not clear about what that means, I'd love to talk to you. There's a lot to do, and I think it's more about being, but it's also about doing, because I believe there's great satisfaction in doing your part as Jesus equips you and empowers you, because it's about promoting the body's growth as we build ourselves up, as we are built up in Christ in love. So if you responded to God's call, and are you doing your part, I'd ask you to revisit those questions before God in a moment of silence, maybe this week or quiet, and ask God what that might be about. We're called to maintain the unity through the bond of peace, unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And maybe there's an area where you can work to maintain that unity of the Spirit. Maybe that's what God's calling you to. I believe St. Cuthbert is poised for a greater and deeper engagement in the mission of God. I saw that at the children's camp, the day camp. And from the beginning, I wanted to do a day camp to raise up young leaders. And I believe I've seen that happen, and I'm heartened by it. So let's continue to do that, that we can be this body of Christ, modeling the unity, welcoming others into that place. May God renew a right spirit within me, within you, and lead us in this way toward maturity, to the knowledge of the Son of God, that we could be fully mature in this full stature of Jesus.